Okay, we're picking up with the Gemara on the top of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. We were the words of Valerifas Ha'egla. This is a proof, again, that the Egla Arufa was done specifically during the daytime. The Gemara says, how do I know that? Amar Devei Rabbi Yanai Kapara Ksiv Ba Kikochim. That the learn of Kapara is used, and the words of Kapara is used in the context of, it says, Kapar L'Amcha Yisrael, and Kapara is used by Kachim, and we learned before that Kachim specifically has to be done during the day, so to the mitzvah of Egla Arufa must be done during the day as well. Now the Gemara continues with the Taras Metzora, and also for the Taras Metzora, the day that the Metzora is the procedure inviting the two birds, and the Ezov, and that whole thing over there. But Zippor Meis Erez Zov Shnei Tolas, as Rashi quotes, all of that whole procedure is done during the day. How do I know that? Tichsev Zos Tiet Torah Sama Torah Biyom Taraso. It says specifically there should be Lach of the Mitzvah Biyom Taraso. That specifically should be done during the day. Now the Gemara continues, Kol Alayla Kasher Ktiras Ha'Omer. The entire night is going to be kasher for the Ktiras Ha'Omer. Damar Mar Ktira Usfira Balayla Vava Bayom. That in terms of the cutting of the Omer and the counting of the Omer, those are done at nighttime. How do we know the counting of the Omer is done at nighttime? So Rashi quotes that the Gemara Menachos learns it out from a Remazim from Sukkim. But that's a very important thing. We say Tzviras Laila is Tzviras Omer is Balaila. So Tosfos learn that if someone forgot to count the Omer at nighttime, you're not allowed to count the Omer with a bracha during the day. And that's how we're choshish for that shita lechurma to assume that you would not, you do count, you're allowed to count the next day. That's not lefi shita Tosos. Okay, we're doing machmer for the bag and Tosos, machmer both ways. That we assume, like Tosos, you don't make a bracha by daytime, kasavi brachas lahakel. And we also assume like but Tosos also hold leshitosim, though Tosos hold if you miss a day, you're allowed to make a bracha the next day. It doesn't matter. The Bahag holds that you're not. So we're choshish for the Bahag that assumes that if you miss a day, then you really are not allowed to count with a bracha. So then, if you miss a whole entire day, we'll make you, we won't let you count the next day with a bracha. However, if you remember during the next day, so then according to the Bahag, you're allowed to even make it with a bracha, but we're choshish for Tosos there also, so we don't count with a bracha, count without a bracha, and then I'd be allowed to resume counting the next night. So that's an interesting point for the Gemara from Basira Balayla, Vavas Bayom, and bringing the Korban Omer is done, brought by, specifically by daytime. Now the Gemara continues to the Hector, Chalabim Ve'Evarim, the bringing of the fats and the limbs on the Korban. That's what, Tfilas Ma'arvitz can I get. Dechsev Kol Alayla Ada Boiker, they say, and all night until morning. Tosus point out that this is also in this Akle Evarim Kodim Chatzos. That it has to be touched by the fire beforehand, because if it's not before Chatzos, then the Gemara learns out in Yizvachim, the Gemara in Yuma, it points out that that would not be okay to continue bringing those korbanos. So now the Gemara continues that klal to bring them on the mizbeach. Now the Gemara continues that klal. We learned this is the general halacha. Davar shemitzvasa bayom kasher kol hayom. Something which mitzvah is performed by day must be performed. It can allow to be performed the entire day. Zeh klal tumei. Usually, when the Mishnah says zeh klal, this is the rule. It's coming to include another halacha. Which other halacha is it coming to include over here? The Gemara says leituye sudar bazichin vesiluk bazichin. It's coming to add the halachas of the putting the spoons and removing the spoons. What halacha is this? That we know each Shabbos the Kohanim, you had four Kohanim coming to the Beis Hamikdash to do the avoda of the Lechem Apanim. Lechem Apanim was that they used to bring, two Kohanim used to bring the bread. You had the bread, and you had also, was it the 12 loaves of bread, and also with, next to them, they were baked in the 12 special shapes, and coming up in a few weeks Parsha, and they were also, they were brought with Lavona. They were brought with two spoonfuls of Lavona. So the two spoonfuls over here, they carrying the stacks of bread, you would have two people carrying the stacks of bread and two people carrying the Lavona. The four Kohanim, again, two would be removing the old ones and the old spoon, and then the other one would take it, would be putting in the new one. The other two Kohanim would be doing the day, and that was done during the daytime. So says the Gemara, Kered Rios, this Mishnah lines up with the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. The son of Rabbi Yossi says, Siluk es ha-yishana shachris, the Kohanim removed the old lechem upon him in the morning time, v'sidra chadash ha-arviz, v'im rekachum, and the other one did it late in the afternoon before the Shkia, so then that would be okay. However, the Chachamim disagree with that. They hold that that specifically you have to do it immediately with the next one. So that's the opinion. Our Mishnah follows the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. V'sidra chadash ha-arviz, v'im rekachum, mani mekayim lifnei Hashem tamid, or lifnei Hashem. It really should be lifnei Hashem tamid. That what does that pasuk say when it says lifnei Hashem? So or lefanai tamid shelo yashulchan below lechem. That it should be that the shulchan should not be without any bread overnight. That it can't go through nighttime where it's a problem. However, you don't have to be performed immediately. With the chachamim, lefanai tamid means that no, specifically mamish needs to be immediate. Now the Gemara continues. Devar shemitzvasa b'layla kasher kol ha'layla, something which is a mitzvah performed at nighttime may be performed throughout the night. Says the Gemara, La Toya Mai, what is this halacha? coming to include that this is the rule that something performed the night time is kasher kol laila. La'tuya achilas pesachim, the eating of the korban pesach utulok Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. That's a machlokas Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria and Rabbi Akiva. Interesting why the Gemara over here specifically doesn't say ki Rabbi Akiva and says delok Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. Just interesting. By the way, there's machlokas in the beginning of brachos. The Gemara in brachos has this machlokas. The Sanya we learn ve'achlos abaser b'layla zeh. You should eat the korban pesach this week's parsha. So we see that you should eat this basar balayla zeh this night at night time. Specifically says night time. With makas bechor says that he passed line at night time, which is when was this makas bechor? No, it was exactly at chatzos alayla. Malalan ad chatzos there was midnight. So two afkan chatzos here also means until midnight. Whereas Rabbi Kiva learns it's kosher kol alayla to eat it. With that, hajjalach akor the mafreya hajjalach mafreya hajjalach mukora mafreya. Now we're up to the next parak. Akoras megillah omed v'yoshev. One who reads megillah, if he wants to, we can read it standing or in sitting. According to Rashi, this is a din lecharchila, that even initially, meaning before the fact, if a person doesn't want to stand, he's allowed to sit down while reading the Megillah. That is the shita of Rashi. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam holds that a person is permitted to sit only when you're reading it to yourself. However, if you're reading it b'tzibur, you must stand out of kavod tzibur. If, however, you read it sitting down, the Rambam writes, b'dieved, you are going to fulfill your obligation. So I remember my Rebbe Zatzal Rav Tabori, who was very sick with ALS. So when he was starting to get sick, he was homebound. He wasn't really able to go anywhere. And he loved, he was bucky and everything. But he knew, hey, he was an amazing balkore. So he was going to lean. And he was in a wheelchair. He wasn't able to stand. He had ALS already. He wasn't able to stand at all. So he told me a joke, which nobody really understood, but I figured out after what he was talking about. He said that, If he was laning, if they're gonna have him lane in his house, he may as well have a woman lane. So I didn't really get what the amkus of the joke is. We see Sichas Tamil Chachamim, everything learned from that. He's referring to this point, this halach of the Rambam, that really we all have a saying Shulchan Aruch, lechatchila, a person should be standing for the Megillah, kavod atzibur, it's only b'dieved that they could be sitting. So the woman also, the reason a woman should be reading is also kavod atzibur. We shouldn't be laning in Elias is because of kavod atzibur. So, very interesting. He was making a joke, but that was just a hara. Anyway, so that's the machlokas Rambam and Rashi. Kara echad karosh naim yatzif. One person read it, or if even two, we're going to see what this means. A two, you can pay attention to even two people saying it. That's going to be okay. You fulfill the obligation. Malkum shenagul levarach ivarach. If there's a practice to say the bracha in Megillah, then you should say it. But shol levarach levarach. We're accustomed not to make the bracha. You don't have to make the bracha. That is again going to be a shaila. It's going to be only the Gemara is going to call for this only to add the laning after the Megillah. On Mondays and Thursdays and Shabbos Mincha, three people are called to the Torah. Where do we get this concept of reading? And there's actually two different takanas. The fact that you go, Moshe Rabbeinu was misakin that you should read it on Shabbos and Mondays and Thursdays. Ezra said that you should read it Shabbos Mincha, you should not go 3 days out of Torah, and also that you should be divided amongst three people. Those are the takanas of Ezra. You're not allowed to have less than three aliyahs, but you're also not supposed to add to them. Why? Because people are going to work, and we're afraid that it's tircha de tzibur, and therefore you should not add into an aliyah. Ve'ein maftirin b'navi is actually fascinating. Sitrin Rishonim, that if you have a chasan, then two chasanim, then maybe you should be allowed aliyah because it's a yom tov d'day, and yom tov you're allowed to lay more aliyahs. So fascinating. I don't think we hold like that, but that's quoted in Zadei and Rishonim. Ve'ein maftirin b'navi, and you don't lay navi. Also, Rashi points out the same reason because again, it's a big tircha. Imagine if we had a haftorah every Monday, Thursday morning, people would be going crazy. So someone who gets an aliyah, agav, the whole point of getting an aliyah is a new concept. In the times of the Gemara, some Sfardim still do this, that the times of the Gemara, the person who was getting the aliyah was the one who was laning. That was what it was assumed, that you were getting aliyah, you were laning. During Corona, actually, my minion, we had a Corona minion, that was the practice that we did in the beginning. Everyone had to prepare the aliyahs like the old times, that we had seven different people who were each one was had to lane their aliyah for the week. So that was like the old times of the Gemara. Baroshe Chadashim, anyway, so you make a bracha before you get the aliyah and the bracha after the aliyah as well. Baroshe Chadashim, v'chola, shomoed koin arban, on Rosh Chodesh and chalamoed, you read four aliyahs. The Gemara is going to explain why we have an extra aliyah. In Volksner, in Men, Men, Muslim, and here also, you're not allowed to have less than four. You're also not allowed to add more than four. Vein Maftir and Benavi, also not allowed to read Navi on Rosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed. Posech v'chosim b'tar mevarach l'vanei l'achareah. Again, you make a bracha before and after. Zek klal, kol sheyesh b'yosef v'in b'yomtev korin arba. Any day which has a musaf, however, it's not a yomtev, so people are still working. We're going to see, that's what the Gemara is going to get to. That's why we only had four aliyahs. However, yomtev, where it's a day that you're going to have chamish aliyahs, you're going to have five aliyahs. But Yom Kippur, Shisha, again, the Gemara is going to get to all this. Yom Kippur, you're going to have six. B'Shabbos, Shiva, and on Shabbos, you're going to have seven. Ain pochas in man of amosaf in lam. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to decrease them, but you are allowed to add to them. So that's the Shiloh over here. From Rashi, it seems to indicate that this refers to both Shabbos and Yom Tov. Others explain that no, only Shabbos you're allowed to add. And Yantav and Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to add Aliyahs. I think many Olam is that Yantav we do. I think people do add to them. But there are those who say, learn out that no, it does not. This halacha is only referring to Shabbos and not to Yantav. Maftirim by Navi, and we read Navi on those days. And someone who ends it also should be you should make the bracha before and after getting Aliyah. Tosas discuss why the Mishnah needed to repeat the point that it already said before. So Tosas point out that at the end of the day, because otherwise they would have thought that certain special days you would not necessarily need to say the brachas before and after. Maybe you would have you wouldn't have a chiyuv to make it each time. No, every single time you need to make the bracha before and after you get your Aliyah. Now the Gemara says Tana, we learn in a brisa Masha Inkin Betorah that Megillah can be read sitting, which is not going to be the lacha with regards to when you read the Torah. Now this is very fascinating because we point out there's machlokas Rashi and Rambam. The understanding of here, the Gemara Lachor should be talay on Rashi and Rambam. According to Rashi, this just means that lechachila, a person is not allowed to read the Torah while sitting. However, but the Evid, if a person for whatever reason did. If you're bending on like a shtender, if you're bending yourself over that you would fall with something in front of you, that's considered like sitting also. So you have to be makbid about that also. Both the person getting aliyah and the balkore should not be leaning on the bima to the point where he would fall in front of him, because that's sometimes the bima is very low in front of him. You have to be careful not to put pressure on it, because that's a major shaila. You have to be standing. So anyway, so according to Rashi, b'diavid miyotze, but according to the Rambam said that Megillah is also b'diavid. So what comes out of here, the Bach learns in the Rambam that the Rambam that says perish, but the Bach learns away. It's a very nice diuk that the Rambam would hold that even because if Masha Ein came b'Torah, then again if the Megillah you're yotzei b'diavad, so what's the chiddush between the Torah and Megillah? So according to the Bach's understanding, the Rambam, you're not even yotzei even b'diavad if you read sitting down. So I don't think we paskin like this Bach, but it's important to know how chamar this is. A person should be sitting down according to the Bach's understanding. The Rambam, you're not even yotzei the kriyas of Torah. Now the Gemara says, where do we know that a person has to be standing while reading the Torah? Amar Abba, Amar Bikra, Amar Kravata, Po Omed, Amod Imadim. And this Baruch is referring to the time, this is in Sefer Devarim, Moshe is relating what happened to Hashem, and it said, and Akash Baruch said to Moshe, then stay here with me so I can teach you the Torah. If the pasuk had not said such a thing, it would be impossible to say this. Giving Hashem's terms that he's like standing with Moshe. So too Hashem is like standing with Moshe. Similarly, when we stand when leaning the Torah, imadi is kilu. He's like talking to Moshe like you're standing with me. And for God who doesn't have body parts or things like that to be the lashon of standing, what that means we don't know. What that means obviously on a deeper level. Now the Gemara continues. How do we know that a person who's giving a shear, he shouldn't sit on the couch and the person sitting on the ground. They should be on the same level. You should stand with me. Both the Rav and the Talmud should be seated on the same level. No one should be on the couch is the higher level, or both on the ground, but one not should be higher than the other. Rav Neventzel is extremely makbid about this. I'm assuming this is where he gets this from. Rav Neventzel is also makbid that if he's giving a shear, that everybody should be sitting down at the shear. If there's never enough chairs, it's always very awkward. Rav Neventzel will stop in the middle of the shear and he'll wait till you get another chair for the other person, because I assumed because of this halacha, he doesn't want to be on the same way that you should be on the same level. This person shouldn't be standing while he's sitting. I don't know. Minhag Olam is not to be so makbid about this. And you have like a packed shir, people, you know, standing room only. People will be standing anywhere they can to be listening to the shir. But I know Rav Neventzel, I guess l'chachila, Rav Neventzel is very makbid about this halacha. He assumes it's the same way that he shouldn't be sitting while someone else is standing, while the Talmud is standing. L'chora, based on this Gemara, I think it comes up in Farish, that they should be on the same level. So they should all be sitting on chairs. And people think it's always, I think this is where it's coming from, because people always think it's like a Hachnas Zorchim issue, so they feel uncomfortable. They say, no, Rav, it's okay. No, he insists on it. I think it's based on this halacha. I think also, extremely makbid about Ben Abel Chavira, but I think it's more this technical halacha, why he's doing it. Not necessarily also the Hachnas Zorchim issue, but he's usually, when he gives shirim, it's in his house nowadays. But I'm saying, it's also the fact that he wants everybody to be on the same level for this Gemara. Tanur Rabban, I think. And again, I didn't have a chance to confirm with him, but I think this is where he's coming from. Tanur Rabban, Miyamos Moshova Araman Gamliel Loyu Lomdin Torah Elam Umad. From the times of Moshe and Torah Gamliel, people used to stand learning. Now we used to stand up when they were learning Torah. But when Gamliel died, there was just a weakness that was into the world that people weren't able to stand. They have to sit down for learning. They didn't have the strength to remain standing the whole time that they're learning. The Mishnah in Sota tells us that when Gamliel died, the glory of Torah had stopped. What is this glory of Torah? That people are no longer able to stand while learning. That's the full honor of Torah, is learning, giving a kavod by standing. That was something that we lost from the time of Rambam Gamliel. Now, just talking about the position of Moshe learning Torah from Hashem, one says that he was sitting on the mountain, that he sat on the mountain, and I stood on the har. They stood in there for the 40 days. That was, again, that was Lashon of standing or sitting. Which one? Amar Rav, Omed Velomed. Moshe Rabbeinu was standing while learning Torah from Hashem. Yoshe Vashone, but he would sit while reviewing it by himself. What he had already learned, he would sit down and reviewing it. So the actual learning was referring to standing, but the reviewing was sitting. Rabbi Chanina Amar Lo Amed Velo Yoshev Ela Shochev. Moshe Rabbeinu was neither standing nor sitting, but he was in a bowing position. Apparently, out of respect for the Shechina, Kavod Shechina, the Marshal points out, that's why he was bowing position. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Yeshiva Ela Lashon Akava. No, Yeshiva means, sometimes it can mean expression of something that is sitting more than expression of, it means staying in your place. What does that mean? Shema Vatesh B'Kadosh Amim Rabim. That we stayed in our place for Kadosh many days. So just as the Lashon of sitting over there is used, just remaining in one place, so to Moshe Rabbeinu stayed means that he did not move. He stood in one place the entire time. He stood in the mountain in that exact position. He didn't move. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Rava says, Rakos Mu'umad V'Kashim Yoshev, that the easy parts that he was learning, he was able to stand for. However, the difficult parts required more studying and more analysis and more iyun and really analyzing the sugyas, so then he would have to sit down in order to concentrate more. Again, this was not a problem of a lack of Kavod Torah, because he needed it to be able to concentrate and prepare and properly understand what was being taught to him. Kara Echad Kara Shnayim Yatzuf. One person who's reading the Megillah for the Tibor, or if two people are reading it aloud, they have fulfilled the obligation. So the Gemara says, with regards to the Torah, it's not going to be this case. Turning on to Kafal of Mabez. Tana, we learn in a Brisa Mashe Inke Batorah that this Mishnah taught is not the halacha by regards to, with regards to the Kriyas Torah. That meaning the two people who read simultaneously during Kriyas Torah, you have not fulfilled the obligation. So the Gemara says, why would that be? The Gemara is going to get to in a moment. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, but Torah Echad Korah Vechad Targum. With regards to Torah, that one person, again, we're talking about Kriyas Torah, reading the Torah out loud for the Tzibor, one person lanes it and one person translates. In the times of the Mishnah, Ad Yom HaZeh, the Temanim still have this. It's fascinating. A person should go see this at least once. See the Temanim, Mamish, they do Targum Unklos. They have the Targum. One person used to read it, and then they would have the Targum, doing the Targum right after, so that Aramaic was a spoken language. People understood Aramaic, so they would translate it into Targum Unkelos, so people would be able to understand the Kriyas Torah. Eventually, Echad Korah Shnayim Targum. You should have one person reading, and not two people translating, because you wouldn't be able to understand the translation of the Torah if two people were doing it simultaneously. So that's the point also. And obviously two people reading the Torah also is going to come out from here as well. That you can have one person reading that Torah and two people allowed to translate time as standard. Well, you shouldn't have two people reading the Navi, the Haftorah, and then two people translating. So what's the difference over here? Why by Navi am I not as concerned for translating it? So Rashi points out that two people reading the Haftorah simultaneously is a problem because they're not going to be able to fully hear them, and then I'm not going to feel the veil obligation of the Dindarabanan of listening to Navi. However, with regards to the translation of Navi, it's not as important because the whole point is that people don't know Hebrew is not going to be able to understand it. For regards to Navi, which isn't really halachas, so it's not as important that they really understand it, as opposed to the Torah, which is giving us real halachas and commandments of things we have to know. Everybody needs to, it's ma'akev, that everybody needs to understand it, and you can't have two people doing the Targum at once. That's how Rashi explains it. Uvahala Megillah, filo asara korn v'asara Targum. In Hala Megillah, you can have 10 people reading it simultaneously, and 10 people translating it. That's what Rashi is bothered by. What do you mean, Sarma Targum, 10 people translating it? Lechora, we don't have any Targum for Ksuvim. And Megillah is one of the Ksuvim. Right? Tila Mishla, you have Shir Hashem, Rus, Eicha, Koelas, Esther. Esther is one of the Ksuvim, and we don't have a Targum for that. So what does it mean that we have people Targum over here? So the Gemara actually, we have earlier, we explained why Yonas and Menzel didn't Targum Ksuvim, but we see that we have Masar that they didn't do it. So that's what Rashi points out, and therefore he deletes the Gersa of 10 people in Masargim. However, Tosos keeps the Gersa, and he says that even though Yonas and Benaziel did not write a Targum of Ksuvim, there were later Tanaim, with the exception of Daniel, that we have a Masura for the Targum as well. So that's that we do have later Tanaim, later than Yonas and Benaziel, who wrote the Targum. Now the Gemara continues. My time is, again, so we see over here that if you have two people laying in the Megillah for you, even 10, that's okay. So the Gemara says, what's the reasoning? Keva de Chaviva Yahavi Datsayu Veshame, that since these are very beloved, that people love it, people love hearing the Megillah, and they're gonna put extra concentration and be able to hear it, even if there are more than one person simultaneously reading it, be able to hear it. So why is it so Chaviv? Again, Hallel also is considered in this category. So Rashi explains, because how often do you read Hallel? Hallel with a bracha, let's say. Hallel with a bracha, I think what we had before, the Gemara list is, what is it, 21 days? Where you say Hallel with a bracha, right? 8 days of Sukkot, right, Shemini Atzeres, 8 days of Sukkot, 8 days of Chanukah, and then we have on the first day of Pesach. Again, there are not many times with the bracha I'm talking about. The minhag, that's a different point. We said even Rosh Chodesh, so together with Rosh Chodesh another 12 times, that's that many times that you say it comes up very infrequently. However, Things that you read all the time, every Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, so you're reading it three, you know, and Shabbos Milcha, reading it four times a week, so that's already something which is less chavim, because it happens all the time. That's Rashi's explanation. The Meiri explains, no, people love the story of Purim, it's just like something that's so geshmak. Everyone loves the story of Purim, and the Halal also remembers the Nisim that happened in Egypt, and all the Nisim that we say, we're so excited when we say the Halal, you know, sing it, whatever, we're very exciting. So the Meiri says, actually chavim, that really, not just a perception of how long we say it, but actually the content is something that's more, is more special to us, is more dear to us. So the Gemara, again, that is a very, the people are therefore are going to make a point to hear it. So it's very interesting. Why is it that make people, what is the vort of people understanding that they're able to be able to listen to multiple things simultaneously? Is the idea that when one is concentrating, you're able to focus on multiple voices, you're able to hear both voices, or is it that a person is able to weed out the other voice and only listen to one person? Meaning, even though multiple people saying something, but if I just hear one person, I'm able to concentrate and blot out what the other guy's saying and listen to the one Baal Kore. So there's an afkamina between the two explanations. That's right. The Achronim bring this down, is that then maybe even Rishonim discuss this, Shiloh. But the afkamina would be is that, let's say one person's reading from a kasher Megillah, one's reading not from a Megillah at all, or is reading from a pasul Megillah that's not kasher at all. So if the vort is that I'm able to weed out one guy relating it, so then if I could just weed out the person who's reading from the pasul one, I'm going to be yotze. However, if the vort is that I can hear two people simultaneously, I'm not going to miss anything because I can hear both people, so then I'm not going to be yotze if one of them is fundamentally reading it from a ksav that's pasul. Very interesting nafkamina. Now the Gemara continues. Malkam shenagel levarach yevarach, in a place where it's a minhag to lane the Megillah, that part person should say the bracha to make the bracha before he lanes. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye lo shenal acharei. This minhag is only a matter of custom with regards to the brachas after the Megillah. Aval lefnei mitzvah levarach, but before the Megillah, then you have a mitzvah to make a bracha, just like you have every mitzvah every mitzvah that you do, you have a chiyav to make a bracha beforehand, the exception of Beit HaNechavera, where people might not accept it or other things. But be'etzem, the general rule is every bracha, every mitzvah that you do, you make a bracha beforehand. No, so let's say that's the general rule, that every mitzvah you perform, you make a bracha over lasiyasan, right before, prior to their performance. The discussion of over is specifically right before preceding it. So Gemara says, "My mash b'day over lishna dekdimihu." So Gemara just asked the question, the lashon of Shmuel. Why do you say the lashon of over means that it's prior to? So the Gemara says, generally, over means passing over. So again, why does it mean over here, prior, right before? So the Gemara says, what's a raya for this? The Gemara says, "Amar Nach, when it's look, Amar Kra, vayaras achimat derech hakikar vayavar." As a kush, we actually had this in this is the same Gemara. Shakavatari was in Pesachim. I think we had this. So the Gemara that says the Achimatz ran by the area and he came past the Kushit. This was a reference that he wanted to tell David the news of the battle, but before the Kushit got there, so he passed over him. That means that he came before lashon of preceding or right before the Kushit came. Abaya Marmahacha. So lashon of Avar can be brought from here. Vehu over Avar lifneim. He passed before them. That Yaakov went before his family to meet Esav. Here, Avar means also he preceded his family to go there. This is a reference to Pesach and Micha. That here also is prior to, and the Lashon is that the king passes before them, and Hashem at the head of them. So this is also Lashon of prior, is Lashon of prior over here. Why didn't Shmuel use the word kodem? So the Rishonim explaining, Dafka used the word over to, because that expression indicates something that is immediately prior to. Because we see that there's a question of over to over, like making a bracha on certain things, it's a whole shayla of when to make them a lot of times, because you have to do them immediately prior to doing them. That's the whole shayla about the lulav and esrog, that to making the bracha before it's on the table, right? That's over to over, because then you have to pick it up and then shake it. So that's maybe two things. It might be too far removed from the bracha. Again, it's a shayla. Again, it might be room to make it, but that's important. Note that all the brachas are made immediately prior to doing that, like the tefillin. You don't make the bracha when they're in the bag. You put the tefillin right before you're about to tie the knot on your arm. And the same thing when you're tefillin shorosh. You don't make them, you first put on your tefillin, and then before you tighten, and then you make the bracha. Why? Because again, this is the concept of overlay sales, and it has to be done right before you do the mitzvah. So now the Gemara points out, that's a chiyav. So what's the nesach bracha? Lefnei amayim mevarach. Which brachas do you make? Not just what bracha, but also multiple brachas. What brachas do you make before the Megillah? Rav Sheshes Mikart Razaya, the name of this place, I don't know how to pronounce it. Ikla Lekemet Ravashi came before Ravashi, and he said, Ubarach Manach. He said the bracha of Manach. What is Manach? Manach is an acronym for Mikra Megillah, She'asa Nisim, and Shechiyano. Those are the three brachas that you make before, and the specific that also, Al Mikra Megillah, then She'asa Nisim Vasinu, and Shechiyano. Those are the three brachas that you make at nighttime. Lachre Mayim Barach, so what's the nusach of the bracha that you make after? Baruch Hashem Lakin Mechalam, Hakel. I don't think we have that nusach. It's parentheses. I don't think we say that either. Haravis Rebinim. Hashem who takes up our grievances, Vadanas Dinenu, judges our the claims that we have, Anokem and Simukasinu, who avenges our vengeance against our enemies, Vanifra Lana Mitzarenu, and extracts vengeance from our enemies, Vamashalam Gmula Khulavan Afshinu, and gonna bring retribution upon all our enemies. Barakata Hashem and Nifrali Sam Kultarayam. Blessed you are Kosh Baruch Hu, that you extract you'll take back vengeance, whatever the lashon, against Klal Yisrael and all their enemies. Rav Amar Hakel Moshiach, no, the God who brings salvation. So the Gemara Amar Papa, Papa is always trying to make shalom. We say the lashon together. Baruch Atah Hashem Hakel Nifal Yisrael Mikol Tzareim Hakel Moshiach. That you also take the vengeance for Klal Yisrael and their enemies, and also brings us salvation. You're allowed to say you make the bracha, and you end off with both. Now the next part of the Mishnah. Mishnah said, "Bashinim v'chamisha b'shavas mincha korin shlosha." Hanis shlosha keneged me. Why do we say three aliyahs? Amar Vasi keneged Torah neviim k'suvim keneged the fact that there's Torah neviim and k'suvim, which is interesting because we're only lighting the Torah, but that's the negative three. Rava Amar keneged Kohen neviim Israel. That's the ones that get the aliyahs. The Kohen neviim Israel. Another the Gemara says, "Ella hai the Tanir Rabshimi in postum yud psukim beisak nesis." So another halacha. So you're not allowed to lane less than 10 psukim in from the three aliyahs, that meaning one person is going to have four, and the other two have three. You have to have a minimum of 10 psukim. Where does that come? Vayedaber al minimum, and the lashon of vayedaber, even though it's introducing, it's still considered counting. Hani asar gonna be, so why do you have to have 10 psukim? There's actually one exception. So let's discuss that, the laning of Purim morning. We lend by Avam Malek, which is only 9 psukim. That's all shayla what we do over there. But we hold that since the end of the Indian, really could lay 9. That's the only exception to the rule. Once a year, we lay in less than 10 psukim. Why do we lay in 10? Kineged me, Amar Rabbi Shub and Levi, Kineged Asar Batlanim, Shem Yitak Nesis, the 10 people we saw before, those Asar Batlanim, who consider make it a city, Shem a city, that the Kailal Niks who are not working and they're learning in the shul and make sure that there's Minyanim in the shul, take care of the shul. Rav Yosef, Amar, Kineged Asar, Sadebra, Shinemra, Lemoisha, Messinai. Kenega, the 10 commandments that were said to Moshe at our Sinai, Rav Levi Amar, Kenega, sorry, Lulin, Shemar David, B'Sefer Tilim, the Halukas, the 10 Halukas that he said in the end of Sefer Tilim. Rabbi Yochanan, Kenega, sorry, Mamas, Shemar, Nevra Olam, the 10 utterances of the world was created. How do you know what are the 10 utterances of Vayomar, the Bracious, and Haitishna, and if you count all Vayomars, it's only 9. Bracious, Nami, Maimaru, no, the Lashon of Bracious is also considered, an utterance. Tichsiv, B'Dvar Hashem, Shemaim Nasu, Varach, Biv, Kotzvam. The words of Hashem Hamoed and the breath of mouth, everything was hosting him, and therefore there are 10 mamaros. Gemara continues, Amar Rava, Rishon Shikara, Dalad Meshubach. Whoever is the one, if the first one is able to read four psukim, that is praiseworthy for him. Sheni Shikara Dalad Meshubach, the second one is also praiseworthy. Shlishi Shikara Dalad Meshubach, if it's the third one, he is praising him. And any of the three who reads that extra pasuk or read four is considered praiseworthy. So, that's what we see, and whoever zochet to that read the four is going to be considered praiseworthy. Rishon Shikara Dalad Meshubach. If the first one read four, he's praiseworthy. The son b'shalosh kupot shalosh son shem torman salishka. Mishnah and Shkalim with three baskets of three saw each, which them they make they would remove things from the chamber. This mishnah is talking about the machtes of shekel, which they would withdraw the funds from the chamber to be used for the korban of tzibur. The coastal land aleph beis gimel, and it was written on them the Hebrew letters aleph beis and gimel leida ezamen nitzra marishon la'akrim imen arishon. To know which of them was withdrawn first in order to offer the karmanos from that one first. In the mitzvah, the preferable to use the first one, it shows the importance of the first one specifically, praiseworthy the first one to read the most aliyahs, the four aliyahs. Emtsoi Shikara Arba Meshubach, the middle aliyah gets four aliyahs, that's also praiseworthy for him. The son of El Mulpanei Manera Iru Shavasan Emeros, that's a pasuk about Loscha. So what do we learn from him? Lamed Shemetad Pneim Kalpe Manera Maravi. This teaches us that the Kohen, he makes all the wicks of the lamps, the six wicks, face the middle one, the Manera Maravi, the middle one, the western lamp, which is considered the middle one, because it was north to south. So that's why it was the middle one near Maravi. But near Maravi, Klap is Shechina, and the western lamp is facing the Shechina, which is in the Kodesh Kadashim, right in front of it. Rabbi Yochanan, Mikan, Sheem, Tzai, Meshubach, we see where the middle one is considered Meshubach, so therefore, the one who's reading the Megill, the one who's reading the laning, and he gets the four aliyahs, that's considered Meshubach for him. V'achron Shekar Abba Meshubach, and the last one, the third reader reads four psukim, he's considered praiseworthy. Mishun Malim Mekodesh, V'lo Marid, because the general rule is that we Malim Mekodesh, and we do not lower the Kedusha, therefore, the last one should be the one who has the four. Rav Papa, Ikla Levei Kanisha de Ave Govar, he came to the shul of Ave Govar, Vekara Rishon Arba Veshapchi Rav Papa, and he read four, and Rav Papa gave him a Yishakayach, being the one who's zochah to get four. Now the Mishnah says, Ein Boschim Mehen Ve'ein Mosafin, we do not decrease or increase the psukim. So the Gemara says, Tana within an Abraisa, Pseach Mevarach Lefaneah, so the one who's getting the Aliyah, he should make the bracha before, Ve'achosim Mevarach Lefaneah, and the one who gets the Aliyah after, should make the bracha after. Vaina de kulam, that was what they originally used to do, meaning the guy got Rishon to make the bracha before, and the guy got Shvi, they would divide the laning, but the guy got Shvi would make the last bracha, the closing brachas. Vaina de kulam, bracha levena achreya, however now, the guy gets Rishon, he makes a bracha both before and a bracha after. The reason Rabbanan did this, because gzera mishum nechnasin ve mishum yotin, because we're afraid of people who are entering and leaving. What is this? So Rashi explains, Rashi explains that the original practice, they would read the aliyah. The people were afraid that people come in the middle of the aliyah. They would think there's only a bracha afterwards, and the person who was leaving early also similarly, he would not hear the ending bracha. He would think that you don't have to make a bracha after at all. So therefore, the Rabbanan Mesakin that each aliyah should get a bracha both before and after to limit the chances of a person making this wrong conclusion that we don't make a bracha before and after getting aliyah. Okay, Be'ez Hashem will pick up because a whole new sugya over here. It's a complicated thing, and actually, Allah Lamaisa, it's a big machlokas between the Gra and the Rama with regards to how to read in Rosh Chodesh and understand this Gemara, but Rosh Chodesh and Be'ez Hashem will pick up with tomorrow's daf.